Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Hey, you know, I just heard that PSA, the bullying PSA, where the kids are like, you know, I just learned in math class I'm fat and stupid. And the girl says, I learned in whatever that I'm a scumbag. You know that somewhere there's at least one kid sitting in a classroom thinking to himself, I just learned that my teacher is a communist. My schoolmates are useful idiots, and our textbooks are communist anti-American propaganda.
You mean
Howard Zinn style?
You mean U of M?
Oh, I'm talking all levels.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
The indoctrination camps start even younger than the college,
you know,
university level.
Yeah, you know, I was
level.
Having a drink with a fellow last night that said, I can't remember if it was his niece, nephew, or a friend of the daughter was conservative, raised in a conservative home. Went to the University of Michigan and came out a raging liberal. Mm. That's lovely, isn't it? Is that what they teach here at the People's Republic of Ann Arbor, U of M? Thank you very much. You should be real proud of yourselves.
Yeah.
All you alums who give billions and billions of dollars to the U every year, I hope you're proud of yourselves. That's what your university is teaching today's youth.
I guess I'm fired up on the subject because during the American Dream, Patrick Colbeck called in and he was talking about how the Howard Zinn book, People's History of the United States, is a standard-issued textbook. I can see it maybe floating in the library among a lot of other books collecting dust, but not as an indoctrination tool, as a textbook that kids have to study.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. I mean, why don't they just issue, Lenin wrote all kinds of letters and pamphlets and garbage. Why don't we just take those out? And
sure. I think they should just make one of the new buildings down at the U a big bust of Lenin with windows in it. You know, why not? Well, welcome to the end of the world radio. Here we are. You know, honestly, there are days like this. You know that Geico commercial where the end of the world is outside and somebody stole a guy's burrito and they're playing? I feel like that. This is the last sane place right here, you and I.
Who's the...
Isn't that a scary thought? You and I are the last sane spot on Earth.
Who's the band that sings It's the End of the World as We Know It?
R.E.M.?
Yeah, R.E.M. There you go. R-E-M. We'll have to get that as our theme song.
There you go,
Derek. Search for that. They're going to be a little
Bring
mission.
Bring us out or take us in with that one.
Yeah.
So let's take care of a little business real quick. Today's half hour sponsor is The Rock Shop on Godfrenson Road. If you have not been to The Rock Shop, now is the time to go because it's cooling down a little bit next week. Get your landscaping done. Get all your landscape supplies from The Rock Shop. www.rock-shop. That's shoppe.com. You can call them 734-455-5560. They got a lot of great stuff for the patio, the backyard, the front yard. And they will teach you to install everything they sell for free. Free's good, right?
I like free.
They're located just off of M14 at Godfrenson Road. So go out and see Marco and Helena Scappaticci, and they'll get you taken care of.
Great place. Bernie Sanders, he's promising free student loan forgiveness, free college.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking of this earlier, too, because I think I caught a snippet of your guys' show. And I thought to myself, you know, anything worth having is worth working for. You know what's going to happen if you give a kid free education? They're going to stay in the dorm room and smoke pot and play euchre.
Yeah.
They're not going to go to class. They don't care. It's free. I'll just take the class again next year. What's the point? If you don't have some skin in the game, there's no point at all because you're not going to bother educating yourself.
You're absolutely right. You know, I read a biography on John D. Rockefeller, and he was a big philanthropist. He gave away, I think, at least half of his fortune, and he was the richest man, I think, definitely in America, but probably the whole world at the time. And he would never, ever fund a very worthwhile charity, whether it's a university or a medical establishment or research for, you know, curing diseases. He would never fund it unless there was some skin in the game from the participants, because he knew human nature, just like you described,
yeah,
that unless you're vested in it, then nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, you got to have some skin in the game, you know, even if you're only putting in a couple bucks, you make 20 grand a year, you should be paying $20 in taxes, something, you know. Write the check, put your name on it, say, I'm making my contribution. You know, There were years in my life where I made little to nothing, but you know what? I always paid. I couldn't get away with it. Maybe it's just because I didn't like to cheat, but I paid my taxes even when I made, you know, $4,000 a year or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've never had a situation where
never.
I just didn't pay.
Never. I always paid something, and I complained every time, but I always paid. Not once in 51 years now have I ever not paid taxes of some amount. You know, not, it's crazy.
Even when you were a stripper at Danny's in Windsor?
Okay.
Did you pay then?
Yes, I still pay.
I don't know why I even know the name of it. Remember those commercials? Hey, ladies, you know.
Come on over to Danny's.
Bachelorette party. Like it's in the 70s or 80s, wasn't it?
Wednesdays is lady nights at Danny's. On stage now.
It's funny how you never forget sound bites like that, you know.
All right, well, let's get into something I know, because you're here early this week or this month. Or maybe you'll be back twice.
I will be back on the 19th.
Lovely. Okay, so I wanted to do a little Trump action, right? He took the pledge with Reince Priebus, right, and went ahead and signed the Republican GOP pledge that he won't be running. And I think he did that for a reason. He's on top right now with 30%, it looks like, depending on what polls you go to.
He's on top of Hillary.
The next guy... No.
That was the past. No longer.
Closest guy is Ben Carson, who I think Donald Trump would have no problem supporting.
Right.
Carly Fiorina's up there, and Ted Cruz is up there. So I'm thinking those three, at least, he would probably support and probably throw a little money behind if he had to.
You know, or possibly choose one of them as his VP.
Absolutely. And you know what? And the deals have not been cut, but I bet you the conversations have already been had. That, you know what, depending on what happens between the four of us over the next 18 months, I think we need to agree. Because you know what, Carly Fiorina has not said word boo against Trump since that first speech. She has been gone completely quiet. You know, Cruz has never said anything, and Ben Carson is very deft and skillful when
yes.
he talks about anything related to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and rightfully so, because you know what, you don't mess with the Donald. You know, hey, whether you love him, whether you hate him, you know what? There's a billion reasons Donald Trump may be the GOP nominee, whether you like it or not. You know, I'm sorry. The guy's got all the money he needs.
I think it's not only that, because you have to be skilled in how you maneuver in these circles and on the national stage, but also because I think a Ben Carson, for example, agrees with Trump. He's not going to be as vocal.
Right.
And upfront about it, but he's definitely not, to my knowledge, said anything against what Trump has said.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is, with Donald Trump, he is unique because I don't think there's another Republican candidate who could say the things he's done and not be torn to shreds. He's got the Teflon shield, the street cred, whatever you call it, the chutzpah, I don't know, whatever, to make the media cringe. I mean, when they attack him or try to set him up, he just blows right through it.
The media has been wrong, and the Republican establishment and the Democrats every step of the way when it comes to predicting what's going to happen to Donald Trump.
Yep, yeah.
He has defied everybody and won.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, as Theron, he's just walking past the window here, says all the time, you got to smash the machine. I think the people are ready for that. You know, I think they're done. I know I am. I mean, do I think Donald Trump would be the best candidate? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I would love to see him go in and shake the tree to its roots.
He is vocalizing the outrage that most of us feel.
Yes, that's exactly right. So anyways, the pledge, as I was saying, I don't think he should have taken it, but maybe he should. Maybe it was the right time. I don't know. But what bothered me the most is how dare the establishment GOP in whatever state or national level hold them to an oath when they haven't upheld their oath to us as Republican or conservative voters for decades now. You know, this 2010, 2012, the word almost slipped. Be near the dump button there, Derek. They haven't upheld their pledge to us to do what we ask them to do. That's why we send them there. Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, subhuman filth as far as I'm concerned. I'm just mad as Dickens that they would hold Donald Trump to a pledge that they themselves are not upholding to us. You know, I'm furious with the GOP. I am not sending a dime to the Republican Party. I'll pick and choose whatever candidates, but I'm going to very seriously think about who I send money to this year because they have not done the job. You know what? If nothing else, this is something the Democrats and the Republicans should harden the infrastructure.
You know?
EMP, solar storm, whatever. $5 billion, I think Newt Gingrich said it would take to do, at a minimum. And we can't get these idiots in Washington to agree on doing one thing to protect the American people. Harden the grid. $5 billion. Hello. That's not tough.
And as far as the Trump goes, it's not only, you know, what he says and how he says it, which is very important. You know, you have to have that charisma. You have to have that sizzle. You have to, you know, that's what people relate to, is when he expresses an outrage or a disgust. You know, when he says, like, you know, we should just, when, like when he said, you know, just because somebody comes here and has a child, they're automatic citizens, please.
Yeah.
You know, the please was like just resonates
yeah.
to everybody,
yeah.
including me right now. And I think that having said that, the way he, sorry, people, I put my coffee cup on the desk and it vibrates. But
do it again.
But it's not only what he says and how he says it, but his history shows that he's a very accomplished, get it done now kind of a guy.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of procrastination and a lot of nonsense. I think, and I know that's private sector versus we're advocating to some degree or a large degree for him to be president and being in government. I know it's different. But we need a guy that's at least going to, like, try like hell, you know, to make it happen.
Yeah.
Instead of just kind of getting lost in the system.
Yeah. You want somebody real big out there making waves. Let's take a quick call from Ed before the break. Ed, welcome to the show.
Here's the problem I have at the moment, and I'm not accusing Trump of anything, okay? I'm not saying that. But I am saying that a lot of people are pushing Trump. I heard it said, you know, he's so pro-America. That's what, and I got that. But I'm looking at his principles, and on a number of blogs, I've been commenting like, well, what about his principles? And everybody says, well, he'll make, like you said, he'll make stuff happen. I says, yeah, he'll make the trains run on time. And, it, you know, I basically think of him as a very populist Mussolini-type character. Whether he is or not, I don't know. I'm not accusing him. I'm just saying, comes across to me that way. And I have libertarians who tell me, yeah, well, what's so bad about the trains running on time? And I say, well, what about constitutional restraints? Oh, that train left the station a long time ago.
Ed, give us a specific example of what you're concerned about as far as constitutional restraint and Trump violating what you perceive as, a loss of freedom.
I don't, and it's vague, and I can't be specific, and I apologize for that.
I'll be specific for you, Ed. I know what you're talking about. Here's one specific. Donald Trump in the past has supported the taking of personal private property. What do they call it? The eminent domain. He has supported it, which for me is a biggie. That doesn't make me happy, but I look beyond that, and I'm sure there's others too. But I see what you're saying.
Single payer.
He's made that comment, but I think he's retracted it. He may have evolved. He may have flip-flopped, whatever. But I think he's making that statement now that he's changed. Has he changed? I'm not sure. I'm not sure that any of the other Republican candidates are any better, though.
Okay, but what I'm getting at here this is not opposed to Donald Trump. Don't get me wrong. It's a mentality. For instance, some of these same libertarians, and I've been on their side in so many discussions, and yet when it came time for gay marriage, they were like, oh, thank God we got gay marriage. I don't like the way it was done. No, it's cool. It's done. That's the way it should have been done. Like, what? That's a judicial tyranny. Well, we needed it anyway. I'm like, wait, you're supposed to be a constitutionalist, a libertarian. What's going on here? And that's my problem. So many people on our side are willing to give up on constitutional restraints as long as we get what we want, and I think they're thrown behind Trump for the same reason, whether he's that way or not. You follow me?
Yeah, I get you. I get your points. But right, as of right now, Ed, I'm still...
Oh, don't tell me you're not one of them.
I'm still a Trump supporter at this point. You know, because I want somebody to go in and shake the tree. You know what? If it took a Mussolini to go in and shake the tree, you know, frankly, my choice at this point, I'd like to see the good guys in the military, if they haven't been purged. I don't know who's left at this point. Let's have the coup. Send everybody in Congress right home. Send them home and tell the states, you send us back your congressmen and senators, and in a year and a half, we'll have another election. But throw every one of those stinking bums in Congress right out. I'm done with them. They haven't lived up to their obligation to us at all.
Hey, to lighten things up a little bit, Ed, you've referred to Trump as a possible Mussolini populist kind of a guy. I have to refer to one of my all-time favorite shows, The Simpsons. And the Simpsons, they go to Italy, and I'll spare you the details as to why they're there, but when they first land and they're in their hotel and Homer wanders out onto the balcony overlooking the streets, I think, and they're in Rome at this point, and people are walking by and ignoring Homer, and he's up there making these facial gestures and these hand gestures, and Lisa, his daughter, who's somewhat, you know, intellectual, comes out and says, "Dad, you shouldn't be imitating Mussolini to the Italian people." And he goes, "What are you talking about? I'm not imitating Mussolini. I'm imitating Donald Trump."
Oh, man.
And that was years ago. That was years ago.
And look, once again, I don't want to be cut off at the knees, okay? Once again, I'm not saying Trump is. I'm saying I have a problem with people who are willing to ignore it if he were.
Yeah.
The same with the decision on the Supreme Court. Well, yeah, it's fine as long as we get our way.
Hey, if he wants to make...
No, it's not fine.
If he wants to make...
That's not what our forefathers fought for.
If he wants to make the trains run on time regarding, say, like the border, the war on terrorism, that, or terrorists, I should say, Islamic fundamentalists, make those trains run, baby.
Right. All right, well, Ed, great call. Thanks for the comments.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
We'll see you. Let's take a quick call from Mike. Mike in Ann Arbor. Howdy, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi. I've been listening to Ed, and I usually agree with Ed, but to be honest with you right now, the Constitution that we have in this country is long gone. Over the last 7 years, it's been shredded beyond repair. And one of the reasons that I think Donald Trump signed that thing was to shut people like Bill Bennett up. You know, if you listen to Bennett, "Well, I can't go with him because he hasn't signed his pledge." Okay, fine, I signed his pledge. It's not legal.
Yeah.
Nothing stops him from going third party. And to be very frank, we need our trains to run on time. We need our roads to be fixed. We need our social network to be fixed. We need our borders to be fixed. Basically, we need to fix this country.
We need our military to be empowered. We need our intelligence services to go after and focus and do what they need to do. And I think Trump's the guy that can bring that.
And the simple part about it is the United States has been floundering for so damn long with the politicians that we have. And I like Ted Cruz. I would vote for Ted Cruz. I would vote for Ben Carson. I would vote for Fiorina. But to be honest with you, I think the only one in that entire group that can bring this country back is Donald Trump. He may be a demagogue. He may be everything. He may be a Mussolini, Ed. But I'll tell you something right now. The United States needs somebody who can make this country run. And maybe by signing that piece of paper, he will shut all these Republicans, these so-called conservatives like Bennett and some of these other people, shut them up.
Yeah, well, here's another thing to twist you a little bit. I think if Trump is elected or gets the nod for the GOP, you will get Cruz, Fiorina, and Carson in the cabinet anyways.
And that's exactly what I was
saying. You buy one, you get three. It's the baker's dozen. I think you're going to get all those guys. And like I said, I think the discussions have already been had. You know, they'll play the game out.
Let's hope Trump is more like a Mussolini and not a baby doc.
I don't think he's going to be anywhere near a baby doc. To be honest with you, I think we're all looking for everybody in this country is looking for the purist. There is no purist. The simple fact of the matter is this country is in dire straits. This country can no longer go for a politician or these people who have never worked in their lives or never created anything. This country really right now needs a technician, somebody who knows how to make things work. Period. A businessman, somebody who knows, and I think he's pulled a wool over everybody's eyes. And by the way, I don't know, do you ever listen to Michael Savage?
Yeah, occasionally.
Did you hear what Michael Savage called Hugh Hewitt, who happens to be a very close friend of Bill Bennett?
I can imagine.
What the hell are you doing listening to Michael Savage when you should be listening to me? You're busted.
I knew he'd lure Theron in here. I knew it.
Michael Savage, give me a break.
Listen, I heard that guy wrote a book once. Michael Savage put it beautifully the other day. He says Salem Broadcasting basically is in the minor leagues, and Hugh Hewitt is a minor league pitcher who doesn't even have an ER average worth a dime.
I didn't know who Hewitt was before that.
He's the Tim Tebow of the NFL.
Yeah. Theron came in, Mike. You dragged him out of the hallway.
Hey, Mike, the reason I came in, I wanted to respond to something on Linda's show today. I didn't get a chance to call in. You were talking about rainy day fund or monies put away through our state.
Yeah, the MCCA.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I've spoken with several politicians, and what's going on behind the scenes right now in Republican caucuses, which is literally bringing about shouting matches, they're trying to figure out how to pay for the roads, but what it really comes down to is this is about funding Medicaid expansion slash Obamacare, mm-hmm. and in the years 17, 18, 19, and forward, and that's why the governor is so tenacious about no penny going anywhere until he's guaranteed that can be paid for. And this is all the negotiation behind the scenes as to how we that's what the May 5th tax increase was all about. That's what the current gas tax increase they're talking about is about. They don't want to say we're just going to spend money on fixing roads. And I'm assuming it's the same with the insurance fund you're talking about. They're not going to put one penny on the table until this governor can make up for the deficit he's rained down on Michigan. And he knows full well he made a mistake when he calculated this all out to pay for a Medicaid expansion. That's not hyperbole. That's an absolute fact.
Well, I have one question. Why are we the only state in this country that has the MCCA? The insurance works everywhere else, but in this state we have to have this slush fund. Why?
That's a very good question. I don't know. And by the way, that slush fund could be used right now quite well to fix the roads.
I know why.
And they're all – hang on a second. They're already fixing the roads, by the way. They're already fixing the roads. You see, you can't drive anywhere in Michigan without seeing an orange barrel.
The reason we need $20 billion in reserve is because we have the worst drivers in the whole union.
Well, that's why they keep it there, right?
Exactly.
Mostly in Ann Arbor, mind you.
Oh, God. Don't talk about Ann Arbor. On weekends, I don't go into Ann Arbor because basically most of the people in Ann Arbor are the people that were riding elephants and water buffalo 3 years ago.
Well, hey, Mike, you can also see in Ann Arbor, if you've noticed when you go through, when you see the students that have come back for this new semester, you can tell mm-hmm. the ones that are here for the first time because they actually look before they cross the street.
it's
for real.
Today,
all right. Well, listen, get away from Michael Savage. He's bad for your brain.
Oh, no, listen. I turn him on at night because basically
he's at night.
Sleep.
Yeah, hey. No, I got it. I was just kidding you because he's on the same time I'm on.
Hey, Mike.
I catch him out of Louisville.
Right.
Hey, Mike.
I listen to you in the afternoon. You put me to sleep sometimes.
I know. That's by design, Mike. I'm trying to put
just
sleep. Okay, we'll see you.
Hey, Mike. Bye-bye. Mike, before you go, is Savage still talking about his dog and his restaurants and his band in Britain and his stupid books and how he's the...
About, what I really like about him when he talks about dead man's pants and some of the stories from his childhood, he's actually a very, very good guy, except his vision of history or his recollection of history sometimes is kind of off the shelf, and he didn't really take his history courses too seriously when he was in school, but I love some of the stories he tells. He's totally different than most of your talk show hosts, and he's very entertaining. And usually I'll catch him at night out of Louisville. He's on there for the full 3 hours midnight. So
okay, well I'm going to send him a bill for this plug, Mike.
When we were carrying him here at Wham, I would hear him on the monitor, and he'd be saying, you know, about how he's the conduit between God and man. And I've never heard such a self-promoting...
He's a very intelligent person, and if you listen to him, he makes an awful, awful lot of sense. By the way...
He can, but I've never heard such a self-promoting blowhard in my entire life. And shame!
That makes me feel better. Thanks,
no
dude.
Shame.
Well, there's nothing. Well, look at Rush Limbaugh. You like Rush, right?
Well, I mean, I think Rush is like a kind of a tongue in cheek at times where he's saying about how great he is and everything. But Savage, I really believe that Savage believes this.
Well, I kind of wish that Wham would get Savage back, to be honest with you, because I enjoy him. And like I said, I catch him out of Louisville at night for the full 3 hours, and I fall asleep to his show. But he's very, very entertaining, just like you guys are.
All right, Well, thanks, Mike. We love your calls, always.
Talk to you later, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Well, I love Mike. He's fantastic. I get.
Is there anybody else we miss that we could promote right now?
I feel that warm tingle up my leg from Mike calls. Sorry, Chris Matthews. I had to plagiarize you. Just kidding.
Oh, man.
Mike, you're great, though.
But it's good having you back, dude. These shows just go.
Well, thank you.
These shows just go completely off topic.
Hey, you were on fire. What was it? The week before? Last week was a repeat, but the week before you did the show on your own, and I listened, and you were great.
Well, thank you. I don't remember what it was now. These things just kind of go out after that. But well, when we come back, we're gonna dig through a bunch of topics that I want people to hear and see, and go to thedailydrift.com. We'll see you on the other side.
People are always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Investigators revisiting the crime scene where an Illinois police lieutenant was killed say they have recovered a new piece of important evidence. Fire crews in California hoping cooler temperatures this weekend will help in the fight against the blaze in Kings Canyon National Park, which has grown overnight.
Historically, September and October are when we experience our largest and most damaging fires here in California.
Daniel Berlant with the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. And people enjoying a last summer getaway, also enjoying a break for their wallets.
Mark Jenkins is with AAA and says lower gas prices are one reason more of us will travel this weekend.
We recently saw oil prices drop below $40 a barrel for the first time since 2009. During that time, the price for a gallon of gasoline averaged $1.90. nationwide.
AAA is forecasting the lowest gas prices for Labor Day in a little more than a decade.
Fox Radio's Tanya J. Powers. Fox News. We report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
It's almost time for the Dawn Farm 42nd Anniversary Jamboree. Have a great time while supporting a great cause at the 42nd Anniversary Dawn Farm Jamboree. The Jamboree is a family-friendly event with free admission and fun for all ages, including music and entertainment, a silent auction with hundreds of items, lots of farm animals, and Great Gardens, a live auction, including trips, art, and much more, a children's tent and midway hay rides, food and beverages, and a gift table by the Pittsfield Optimist Club. Funds raised at the event will support the care for individuals who need help and lack resources. It'll take place Sunday, September 13th, from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. This event is held annually on the first Sunday following Labor Day. It'll be at Dawn Farm, 6633 Stony Creek Road in Ypsilanti. For more information, call 734-485-8725 or visit dawnfarm.org. The Alzheimer's Association has launched two free resources for families impacted by Alzheimer's disease. The Alzheimer's Association's Alzheimer's Navigator is an online tool to help caregivers and people with dementia evaluate their needs, identify action steps, and connect with local programs and services. The other free resource, ALZ Connected, is powered by the Alzheimer's Association and is the first social networking community designed for people living with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. For more information on Alzheimer's disease or available resources, visit alz.org or call 800-272-3900.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of the Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Great to be here.
And Derek, thank you for hanging out with us again. I can't hear him. We can't hear you.
He's taking care of business, isn't he? Is he on the phone with somebody?
He might be on the phone. Oh, you know what? He might be on Skype or something. Anyways, so go to thedailydrift.com. If you're not going to the Daily Drift, and this is the first time you've tuned into this radio show, we rehash what I put on the Daily Drift every day. So one of the stories I had was a story about the U.S. Navy sending our nuclear subs to the North Pole in 1958 and 59. And they've got clips from a showreel. Open water in the Arctic, 1958, 1959, 1963, open water. And when you get through the end of the article, it talks about, well, that happens all the time because there's pack ice. It can be anywhere from 25 feet to open water. And it just goes to show you the variability. So when these people are talking about, oh, the ice is melting, the polar bears are dying, which is all untrue at this point.
Well, see, Alex Jones would say that the U.S. was testing secret nuclear weapons under the Arctic Ocean at the time that caused it to melt. It's all documented
on his website. I bet he was.
Man. Yeah.
So it's just one of those things. So go to thedailydrift.com. There's pictures of it. It's worth going and reading that story.
Hey, you know what on that subject? I do have some information. As you know, there's a big competition right now in the Arctic to secure territory and because of the oil.
Yes.
Right? Okay. The Russians have 40 icebreakers in the Arctic Ocean going up there and just basically taking over. Yeah. Okay. Do you know how many we have?
Zero.
Two. Two. And I think they're obsolete, and it takes like so for some reason, years to build these things, and I think it's over $1 billion for each one.
Right. Well, you
we
know,
are way behind the curve in this.
And I'll bet those
even China has an icebreaker up there, and they're not bordering the Arctic Ocean.
Yeah. I'll bet those two are probably breaking ice for the Royal Dutch Shell guys who just landed the contract that Obama let them drill off the Alaskan coastline. Hey, which as soon as I heard that, I thought to myself, why Royal Dutch Shell and not an American Exxon or somebody getting that contract? Follow the money. Is this post-Obama presidency $5 billion nonprofit alleged thing that he's putting together? Is he going to get a big donation from Royal Dutch Shell? You know,
it's not a donation. He's going to speak there.
It just bothered me. I heard this. It was kind of a news break, you know. And then I thought to myself, well, now that he's given that contract, that's why he's going to Alaska now and renaming Mount McKinley and standing on a glacier that's melting. And by the way, that glacier's been melting under every U.S. president since the beginning of the United States of America. Hello?
It's everything I can do not to bring up another Simpsons scene, and I won't do it. But it's so perfect, but I won't do it.
It just astounds me that people forget. You know, glaciers are made during ice ages, and they melt in between the ice ages. So if it's melting, it's supposed to be melting. You retard. I can't believe anybody would sit there and listen to the crap that comes out of his mouth and take it seriously.
Fire Marshal Bill. So you're standing next to this glacier, and you take out a flamethrower, and it happens to melt. What are you going to do?
All right, so let's get on to Hillary real quick, because I've got a couple of clips here that I want to play. Derek, you have those ready? Or not? Maybe not.
Hold on a second.
I think he's multitasking with something else.
Yeah, well, we don't have to do it. I got a million things to talk. Let's jump right to Brian Pogliano. You know who he is, right?
I don't.
Your initial reaction would be, is he, you know, working for the mob or somebody? Well, kind of. He works for Hillary Clinton. And he's the guy that this week they said, we need you to come speak in front of the Benghazi committee about the server, the private server that he was paid to run for Hillary Clinton.
And oh, he's the guy.
Yes, and his lawyers informed them quite promptly. Well, he'll be pleading the Fifth. Fine, that's your constitutional right.
He is a mob
right.
guy.
But you know what? That should be all you need to know, people.
Yeah.
You know, Hillary Clinton is a liar and a criminal, and she's now got the guy that was handling her server pleading the Fifth Amendment.
And when she's not practicing her criminality, she's incompetent.
Yes. Yeah, you got it? All right, so let's start with the first one. This is Hillary Clinton being asked if she should apologize for her handling of her server. You got that? Let's go.
Welcome, Secretary Clinton. Thank you so much for doing this interview. You said recently that using your personal email while you were Secretary of State was not the best choice and that you take responsibility. Are you sorry?
Well, I certainly wish that I had made a different choice.
Couldn't say sorry
and
for
I
life
know why the American
on.
People have questions about it. And I wanted to make sure that I answer those questions, starting with the fact that my personal email use was fully above board. It was allowed by the State Department, as
for
they
her.
Have confirmed.
For her.
But in retrospect, it certainly would have been better. I take responsibility. I should have had
so drop out of the race.
Accounts, one for
turn
personal
over the server.
And one for work-related. And I've been as transparent as I could, asking that all 55,000 pages be released to the public, turning over my server, looking for opportunities to testify before Congress.
Being subpoenaed. You know, being subpoenaed. You weren't looking for any opportunity, you lying old hag.
How long has this been going on? She could have cooperated. First of all, she should have never done what she... Not because she could have made a better choice, because it's illegal!
Yeah.
Number two, as far as making a better choice, she could have offered all of this up in the beginning.
Yeah.
Instead of the whole cheat and retreat thing.
Yeah. What's odd is the fact that the State Department is just doling these out a little, you know, every few weeks. Here's another 6,000 emails, of which 150 are now classified. Well, hold on, wait a minute.
But they, quote, weren't classified at the time.
Yeah, so let's get an analysis from this lady. I think she's from the Washington Examiner. You got that second track ready there? Listen to this lady. This is pretty telling and pretty damning, if you ask me. Go ahead and play it.
The State Department released 7,000 pages of Hillary Clinton's emails last night. It was more than they'd published in the past 3 months combined. Among the new 7,000 pages, we found 125 emails that have since been classified. The State Department says none of them were marked classified at the time and that these were all retroactive classifications. But this information was clearly sensitive. I mean, in one instance, Hillary Clinton even remarked to one of her aides that this should really be top secret. She said that she set up the server for convenience so that she could carry just one device, and we saw in this batch of emails that she was excitedly awaiting the arrival of her new iPad in addition to the BlackBerry we know that she carried. We also know that neither of those were government issued, so they didn't have the typical security protections on them that a mobile device should have on it if it's being used for government business. We saw several emails that indicated Hillary Clinton was deeply involved with the activities of the Clinton Foundation. That was a situation the Obama administration had hoped to avoid, and it could certainly create problems for her if it turns out that she was, in fact, involved with soliciting donations to the foundation from companies that had interest on her desk.
Oh, it just goes on and on and on. You know, we could have gotten all this information a lot quicker if we would have knocked on Julian Assange's door.
Yes.
Of WikiLeaks. Well, he could have given it to us.
There was an article I put on The Drift this week. There's a hacker out there now who's saying he has all that information and that he's going to sell it. He wants to make a quick cash. Well, God bless him. Go make some money on it, dude. You know, you can't go to ABC News. Maybe Fox News will actually pay for it, but whether we'll see all the information or not, because I don't trust Fox News anymore.
He'll only accept Bitcoins.
I want to be paid in Chinese yuan. How do we say that? I don't even know how to say that.
Yeah, you don't want to be paid too early on that because, you know, of the recent decline.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah, they could be out of it,
collapse of their currency.
Yeah, it's just one more. You're right. Drop out of the race. You know,
yeah, what does that mean? I take responsibility. I am so sick of hearing that, not only from her, but from politicians in general. I take responsibility, which means, okay, I've said these magical words, so leave me alone. Business as usual.
Yeah, a little Harry Carey. If you're going to take responsibility, go do the honorable thing, you know, Japanese style.
They don't do anything to take responsibility. They just say it. And so it's like a little kid going, you know, he's doing something he shouldn't be doing over and over and over. And if he says, I'm sorry, then he looks at it like, what's the problem? I said, I'm sorry. Then he goes right back and does it again.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's what they are. They're like little kids. And like little kids, we need to take them out of Washington, send them home, and make them live in their own home for a change instead of on the public dole.
Live in their own feces.
I wasn't going there.
But you were thinking it.
I was thinking of it. All right. So let's get to one other thing, too. We got the last 15 minutes of the show here. I want to talk about, is Jenny gone already? I didn't see it. Sorry, Jenny. Call back if you need to. I kind of missed it. She was going to talk about Donald Trump. I'm sure it would have been interesting. But let's talk about the Iranian nuke deal. So They now have enough votes in the Senate. The Democrats.
Hey, I'm going to interrupt you real quick. Who do you trust more, the Iranians or Hillary Clinton? That's impossible to answer, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
So the Iranian deal is up. The Democrats are slowly but surely falling into this trap of yes, we'll support Barack Obama. They can't pass it, but he can veto it, and we won't be able to override the veto thanks to the Democrats, including Debbie Stabenow. Okay. Yeah,
okay. I got to jump in, and I've had this discussion with Theron, and both of us are kind of like, I'm not clear on how this works. Okay, and I think I've referred back to the SALT treaties in the SALT one with Jimmy Carter, Strategic Arms Limitation Talks, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And the Senate back then was not going to approve it. And I think Jimmy Carter just said, well, I don't care. I'm just going to abide by it anyway, which was illegal. But here's my point, is that I didn't think the president can ever reject the rejection through a veto. I thought that a treaty is presented to the Senate, and they either approve it or they don't approve it. If they don't approve it, it's dead.
He can't re- yes.
I, you can't I would reject that was right. their disapproval
right.
by a veto. I didn't realize you could admit, I guess you can. I never thought that was the case.
Yeah,
part and if of that is the case, that's wrong.
Yeah, part of this is they're calling it not a treaty. Whatever he's done.
Oh, so they're playing word games.
Yes, they're playing the word game. And frankly, it doesn't matter what we do, whether Congress approves of lifting the sanctions or not, because the other 5+1 have already lifted the sanctions. Russia just did a 300, the SS
All
missile
the money.
System. They
yep.
just sold it
yep.
to them. They're already making money. France, China, Russia,
oh, yeah.
they're making big money off that.
Yep,
that's what they want.
And these are supposed allies that I keep
yes.
always go back to. They are not allies whatsoever.
No.
They would sell, well, I don't want to get too graphic, but they definitely sell us out every time.
Yes. And they lobbied all these Democratic state or U.S. senators to vote for this. Why? Because, hey, maybe we'll see a little money your way when you're done or if you can't. Follow the money. If somebody has the ability to follow this money, you're going to see that these Democratic senators are probably getting paid off one way or the other.
And then one wonders, okay, Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, she's so upset because her cell phone was tapped by the NSA. This is a reason why you tap a so-called ally's cell phone
yeah.
to find out what they're thinking, what they're doing, because you know they're going to sell you out, and you just want to learn how fast and how quick they're going to do it.
Yeah. Well, I have a Twitter follower, David, who sends me a lot of great links, and I would encourage people to send me links. He sent me an interesting link to about John Kerry. Now, John Kerry was like allegedly our chief negotiator at the table, probably didn't do anything other than a figurehead. But
that's quite a head.
But his counterpart on the Iranian side is Mohammad Javad Zarif, I think.
Yeah, they're buddies now, right?
Well, it gets worse, dude. So, John Kerry's daughter married an Iranian surgeon. Guess who the best man of the Iranian surgeon that John Kerry's daughter married? Mohammad Javad Zarif. Now, you want to talk about a conflict of interest? You know, they're practically family at this point.
Jeez.
And you put these two jokers at the table, and they're discussing the Iranian nuke deal and what's good for the United States and Israel versus Iran. Are you got to be kidding me.
Jed Babin was on the Jerry Doyle show, and I love Jed Babin. I wish we could have him as a 2-3 hour show just talking, because he makes so much sense. He so just cuts right to the chase.
Yeah.
And he was saying that this agreement, treaty, whatever you want to call it, with Iran, ensures nuclear war down the road with the Iranians.
Absolutely.
Something we're trying to avoid. He says it is inevitable.
Yeah, this straw argument that they won't come back to the table. This is the only best option we have. No, the best option you have is to go back and leave the sanctions in place, and when they're starving to death, they'll come back to the table. You know, that's what it takes. You got to have some guts. You know, and people like Debbie Stabenow, I'm going to give you her phone number. Here's her Washington number. Debbie Stabenow, Senator, 202-224-6221. That's 202 area code, 224-6221. Call her office and tell her you will actively campaign against her next time, and tell her she's treasonous for pulling it. And Gary Peters, the same thing, man. Call his office up and let them know you people belong in Leavenworth. You should be breaking rocks with Barack Obama and Leavenworth, because this is treason. The ICBMs that Iran can now buy will be able to hit the West Coast of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
You know, are you really? You're endangering me. My daughters, my sons, all of our children and grandchildren are going to be at risk a couple years down the road. We're not talking 10 years out.
Well, the left will argue, well, the Iranians want to survive too. Do they?
No! That they're waiting for their 70 virgins in what they call heaven. Are you kidding me?
And
their death cult.
And the hidden imam or the,
yes,
you know, the guy that's going to, like, surface when the world comes to an end.
Yeah. This is not the Soviet Union. You can't play that mutually assured destruction to keep a safe game with a bunch of Islamic extremists, yeah, who worship death. They can't wait to die for their reasons.
And Ayatollah Khomeini, the founder of the current Islamic Republic of Iran, he wrote a series of letters before he died to his successors and said, at all cost, pursue, acquire nuclear weapons. And they're going to look at as a dictate from Ayatollah Khomeini as almost from God himself to make this happen.
Yeah. Now, there was an article, and I
so this remember, whole peaceful purposes crap, anyone that believes that,
yeah,
is nuts.
There was an article, and I'll look it up, and I told the guy I would look it back up. I thought I posted it, but I may not have. There was a recent archaeological find where they found some tablets that had the same writings as the Quran, but they predate Muhammad by 1,500 years.
Hmm.
I'm going to look that back up, and I'll try and post it back at the Daily Drift when I find it again.
Was this on Coast to Coast?
No, it was on one of the websites, but well, I'll find it. Before. I won't talk more about it because I don't want to spew propaganda, you know what I mean? But it would just ensure to people that, you know what, Muhammad is just another guy writing a story to make himself seem important and get rich or whatever the heck he did, you know what I mean? This whole Islam thing is just bunk. I mean, they do. If you're one of these, if you're an Islamic or a Muslim here in the United States and you don't believe in Sharia and everything else, you guys need to stand up and say so, because the rest of us are beginning to think, whoo, man, you guys are crazy. We don't want you around us at all. And that's why people are getting mad when the mosque permit comes up. You know what I mean? We don't want you here. Why? Because we think you're crazy. So the non-crazy ones, if there is a moderate Muslim who doesn't believe in forcing the rest of us into...
Well, that's the whole thing. We don't want to have another culture and belief system forced on us.
Yeah. I mean, this is America. We don't force people to do that except pay taxes. All right. Well, maybe the case has been made. But still, you can't trust the Iranians to do anything. And I certainly don't trust Barack Obama and John Kerry, especially knowing this now. I mean, how about Valerie Jarrett? Iranian, born in Iran. You tell me there's not some loyalty there? I'm betting there is. Huma Abedin.
Dollars to donuts?
Yeah, it's dollars to donuts. Huma
Whatever
Abedin.
That means.
Iranian, right? And she's Hillary Clinton's right-hand gal. People, you need to wake up. There is something fishy and stinky going on in Washington, D.C. And it's not just Congress. It's the president's office, too.
And Hillary.
And Hillary. Danish cheese. Danish cheese. It stinks, man. This is not right. People, we need to get up. And you can start by calling Debbie Stabenow. It's not too late to make her change her mind. Because you know what? She wants another 6 years when her time is up. She wants that money. She can't let go of that power. You need to call her up and use those words. I will actively campaign against you. I sent my email out this morning to her. I'm sure I'll probably get a nasty call back or something. Or maybe not. Probably don't even care. But at least if you flood their phone lines a little bit, 202-224-6221, and tell them you don't appreciate her picking the Iranian people over the United States people.
And don't leave her a message something like this. Hi, Debbie. What are you wearing?
That would be her husband. To somebody else. Oh, did I go? I'm sorry. Did I go there? That was rude. That was rude of me. Okay, there was something else I wanted to get to. Let's see if we can find it here. Oh, we were talking about Barack Obama not taking care of our military. I know Matt had a show on the VA guys, more guys dying at the VA than in wars.
And Trump, he's saying that's a big part of his thing, is he's going to cut right into that and make the VA much more responsible.
Yeah, we've got we want to talk about Barack Obama being treasonous himself and opening our country up to the enemy. How about you got track on unilateral disarmament there, Derek? All right, so ready to go. Let's listen to this.
President Obama is in Berlin, and he's calling for a major reduction in worldwide nuclear weapons. CBS 2's Dick Brennan has the new proposal and also the reaction it's getting.
Thousands cheered as President Obama arrived with Germany's leaders at the Brandenburg Gate.
Hello, Berlin!
The president delivered his remarks where the Berlin Wall once stood and where two American presidents gave famous stirring calls for freedom. Nearly 50 years ago, John F. Kennedy delivered his I am a Berliner speech.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
And President Ronald Reagan in 1987 threw down a challenge to the leadership of the Soviet Union.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
President Obama became the first president to speak from the east side of the gate and once again challenged Russia, this time to cut the world's nuclear stockpile.
We may no longer live in fear of global annihilation, but so long as nuclear weapons exist, we are not truly safe.
The president unveiled plans to cut deployed nuclear weapons by one-third.
I intend to seek negotiated cuts with Russia to move beyond Cold War nuclear postures.
The proposal drew criticism by some Republicans on Capitol Hill. Congressman Michael Turner of the House Armed Services Committee said in a statement, President Obama has taken to a foreign country to announce another round of unilateral disarmament, only to appease a foreign audience. The president seems only concerned with winning the approval of nations like Russia, who will applaud a weakened United States. And Senator Bob Corker of the Foreign Relations Committee said, the president's announcement without first fulfilling commitments on modernization could amount to unilateral disarmament.
So we're giving up our nukes, and they're not giving up anything. And that whole article is that Russians are building up their nuclear arsenal, as is China.
And Putin is out there every day telling us this.
Yes.
In so many words, threatening us all the time with exactly what you're saying, yes. Building it up.
We got the Chinese Navy off the coast of Alaska, sticking it right in Obama's face while he's in Alaska. We've got Russian bombers on the East Coast and West Coast being chased away. Not even being chased away. They just kind of laugh at us when we send planes up. This guy is denigrating our American military. And I wish there was a way. You know what? When there's 250 American generals and admirals who are against the Iranian deal because it's not good for America, somebody should be listening.
And let's compare and contrast real quick. John F. Kennedy speaking in Berlin, Ronald Reagan speaking in Berlin, and Barack Obama speaking in Berlin. The context here. Here's John F. Kennedy during a very dangerous time in the Cold War, standing up to the Russians.
Yep.
Here's Ronald Reagan in Berlin standing up to the Russians, challenging them to end their prison system, their police state, by having West or East Berliners imprisoned, and the West Germans, West Berliners, can't come and go that easy. And then you have Barack Obama saying, let's unilaterally disarm.
Yeah, surrendering, basically.
Let's surrender. It's like, there's no comparison to these two former presidents.
No.
They're standing up. He's surrendering.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Laying it down. I give up. You know, I'm just, this is one of these days, dude. My blood pressure is up today after this. Thanks for making it even worse, dude.
That's what I do.
All right, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com, www.thedailydrift.com, and get the news you need to know. See you next week.